Wojcicki, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you're wondering about the Kings, no Kings game tonight. Poor ice conditions at the Arizona Coyotes Arena in Phoenix. Apparently they had some sort of Latin ensemble there last night. No, this is ice. This is the ice, you know, cold ice, frozen ice, not the Border Patrol people, to clarify that. So anyway, the ice was in bad condition. Things got a little hot last night, and so today no game because apparently they need, you know, nice frozen surface to do the hockey thing on. So at any rate, if you're tuning in for the game, stay tuned because this is a great show. I promise. All right. The phone number, as you well know, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. And I trust everyone's had a good weekend. I know I have. I'll tell you a little bit about it as the hour progresses. I know on Friday, I didn't want to quite get into it. Details were a little sketchy Friday night, but there was another terror attack in London. We're getting a little jaded when it comes to terror attacks because this one, fortunately, the bomb malfunctioned. This is the type of device used is a bucket bomb, which, as best as I can tell, is a bucket with some sort of explosive device, and it had a timer attached to it. And the 18-year-old jihadist, a refugee taken in by, as best as I can tell, a saintly couple. So elderly folks, English people who have taken in dozens of children, many of them refugee kids. Anyway, this guy was on everybody's radar. In fact, he was even enrolled in a program that they have in England. This is how bad things are in England, by the way. They've got a program called Prevent. And it's, you know, it's for youths that need to be de-radicalized. I don't even get it. I understand the Syrian refugees living with a westernized couple. This is the kind of stealth attack that is happening in Europe right now. Because you have so many migrants coming over and they're not screened properly. They're not being interviewed. The only criteria is a humanitarian one. You know, hey, you need a place. You're young. We're going to take you in. We saw the same thing during the Manchester bombings. Again, very young. It was a young kid as well. Someone who'd grown up in England, as a matter of fact. So at any rate, that's really not the story that has me, that I think is important here. Because really, the issue that I find stunning is when you're confronted with a problem. And the problem here is very specific. You have people that want to kill us, period. And the reason, by the way, the reason they want to kill us is because they have a violent, twisted ideology in their heads put in place by their religion. You can identify these people. You can. And this one, by the way, specifically was identified, and Scotland Yard had him in his sights. And, you know, Trump tweeted about this. This is part of the thing that's really funny. So Trump sends out a tweet. I'll read it to you here. Let's see. Where do I have it? Oh, yeah. Another attack in London by a loser terrorist. No doubt this is from Trump. These are sick and demented people who were in the sights of Scotland Yard. Must be proactive. Now, as soon as Trump fired this off, all hell broke loose. And everyone in the mainstream media, all together in a chorus of boos, shouted Trump down and said, "Oh, you dare say this? I mean, how can you be playing, you know, Monday morning quarterback on this? You don't know." And even Theresa May, apparently Theresa May, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, called Trump to you know, lodge her complaint that he's commenting on a ongoing investigation. And then you had exchanges like this one. This is on BBC One. A guy, a very popular host, news host, but mainstream media type guy, Andrew Marr, interviewing the British Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, and listen to this exchange.
"You've been very careful in your language both today and yesterday. What did you think when you saw this tweet from Donald Trump?" another attack by a loser terrorist. These were people who are in the sights of Scotland Yard. Must be proactive.
Well, it's never helpful to have speculation about an ongoing operation. And, you know, I would include the President of the United States in that comment.
And it's speculation. He's not received a leak from Britain.
It is pure speculation. Absolutely.
The only problem with it is what she's saying is pure rubbish, as the British would say, because he was right. This guy had been on the radar, had been arrested, as a matter of fact, about 3 months prior to this attack. And so was very much in the sights of British services, right, those security services. Was enrolled in this program for radicals in an effort to get him to, I don't know, renounce his ways and integrate into society. And so Trump called it once again. But that's really not where the story is. I'm processing all this on Friday. And on Saturday, I'm out of town. And I notice that Theresa May, the prime minister, gives a press conference. And she, do you know, you wouldn't believe who she blames for this. No, she doesn't blame radical Islam. She doesn't blame open borders and the lack of any kind of, I would say, you know, more stringent controls of who comes into the country. None of that. She doesn't blame the security services. No, she blames Google and she blames Facebook and Microsoft. Now, do you know why? Because this is fascinating. To me, I think that this is exactly why we're in this predicament. This is why Western Europe has got an attack every month, because they can't wrap their heads around the cause or admit the cause of their problem. Apparently, it's Google's fault. And the reason is because you can figure out how to build a bomb with just a click and a few keywords, and boom, you're in. Maybe poor choice of words. But here you go. That's the problem. At least this is the leader of Great Britain. How many attacks have they had? How many people have died? How many Britons have been brutally murdered as a consequence of radical Islamic terror? And the answer is what? Restrict Google internet searches? You know, this is the same, almost the same thing as the gun control argument, right? The gun control argument is, you know, if we've got violence in our society, if we just ban guns, there's, you know, the problem goes away. And it's not true, because when you, for example, go over to England, what do you have there? You have knife attacks left and right. So we ban bombs, and then what happens? They rent vans. So we ban vans, and they run out and chop people up with knives. I mean, the argument is endless. The problem here isn't even radical Islamic terrorism anymore. It's not even the terrorists or their ideology. The problem is politicians won't call it for what it is. These politicians are so weak, are so spineless, are so afraid of their own shadow. It's stunning, and you know that's what it is. It's pure cowardice. Because in their world, in their politically correct world, these establishment types are so terrified to possibly alienate one group. I mean, they don't want to alienate anyone. They're so fearful that they alienate, for example, Islamic constituents. But more importantly, I think they're in fact fearful for their lives. And then you have in a society that becomes formed around what you cannot say, what you cannot express, what you cannot name. And at that point, we stop talking about the actual problem. The best example here, you know, when people talk about the protections that you know, Trump went and put in place on the borders, and we're talking about the closing immigration from certain, or temporarily shutting down immigration from certain countries. And what's the argument? of course, that the mainstream media puts out. The argument is that, it's racist. It's bigoted. It's targeted. It's anti-Islam. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that you have these countries produce more terrorists on a global scale than all the other countries that send immigrants to this country combined. It's not discrimination. It's statistics and facts. My mind is I can't even wrap my head around this. And this problem actually is not unique just to England. And let me give you an example in a completely different scenario of where this type of logic takes place. You've seen the protests on college campuses, correct? I mean, you saw it with Ben Shapiro last week, right? He goes to Berkeley and violent protests. And what's the argument? The argument is that Ben Shapiro, he's the one causing it, right? He's the one causing the problem. You know what? If Ben Shapiro knew what was good for him, he wouldn't even go to Berkeley because any injuries, any confrontations that cause damage are a consequence not of the people that are protesting, not by the violent thugs that want to disrupt the speech, but are a consequence of that conservative Ben Shapiro guy who dares to go onto campus. That is his fault. It's totally absurd. And I saw Middlebury College, you know, that had a number of protests, the high visibility protests. They've just revised their code. This is something that just came up today. Very interesting stuff. Middlebury, now colleges all over are doing this. And there are, look, colleges have always historically required that if you have a speaker to set it up ahead of time to allow security, if the speaker is going to be contentious, to allow for security to protect the speaker, set up certain accommodations. All that is very normal. But they just put in their new code, an option for them to cancel an event if the risk is too high. What does that mean? That means that if I don't want somebody to speak on a college campus, all I have to do is create a high risk and I can cancel that speech. But what is the university doing? What are these college campuses doing? And why is it analogous to this idiocy coming out of Great Britain about terrorism? See, it's all the same thing. The problem with terrorists is their ideology and what drives them, not where they can find how to make a bomb. That's a symptom. It's not the cause of the problem. And the cause of the problem with violence on our campuses, it's a very real deal. I mean, we're seeing it pretty much every week. And the problem with Antifa and the problem with all this political violence, as it's called, is not the people who are speaking, who are saying things that are causing people consternation. It's not the speech. It's the thuggery. It's the physical acts of violence caused by those seeking to disrupt speech. And it's absolutely unacceptable. It's not who we are as a country. And it all comes down to the same thing. We are afraid to call it for what it is. And in fact, I would say some people are afraid and some people are willfully ignorant of it. You think that Berkeley really at the end of the day wants to have a conservative come on campus? You think they want Milo to come to Berkeley and ream them out for being basically dumb idiots? No. Heck no. So they allow the protester. I mean, they build that into their model. They've got the Antifa, the protesters, and now they can say, it's with great regret that we find this situation too risky to endanger the lives of participants. What in the world is that? No, this is beyond unacceptable. Because you see what happens. All of a sudden, speech is marginalized. Free speech is marginalized. And it's, you know, and when it comes to terrorism, it's like the emperor's new clothes. It's the old story, you know, that you hear about the kid who, you know, this emperor has beautiful clothes and everything's fantastic. And, oh, we've got this. And then finally, a little kid comes along. But, hey, he's not wearing anything. So who's going to come along and say, hey, we got a problem here. There's some nuts in the Middle East with a crazy religion that, if taken seriously, if practiced in an orthodox way, is not compatible with our Western society. Because the things in this book are scary. They want to kill Jews. They want to kill Christians. It's in the book. Now, the reality is that 90%, whatever the number, some large percentage of people ignore the crazy passages and practice the religion in a completely peaceful way. But you've got to identify what the problem is. You've got to understand what it is that's making people do what they're doing. And blaming it on Google is insanity. It's not. What are we? We're going to completely take away all of our freedoms just so that we don't call that what it is. Insane. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Nancy Pelosi got a little taste of the heckler's veto. Did you hear about this? She's giving a speech and gets interrupted by some Dreamers, DACA protesters, and they start shouting her down because you know what they're really upset about with Pelosi? That she met with Trump. It was that meeting with Trump that had them all hot and bothered. You know what they started yelling at her? They said, how can you be part of the resistance if you're making deals with Trump? So it's interesting. Everybody's mad about that meeting. Because the people on the right, obviously people are concerned that Trump is running to the Democrats, especially people that voted for him, and there were some hard and fast issues. We talked about this last week. So for those people for whom immigration is a big deal, and I suspect a large number of Trump voters, this was perhaps a foundational part of the bargain. For them, this is a non-negotiable issue. But see, the left is flipped out at Schumer and Pelosi as well. I saw something over the weekend, again, some left-wing types warning Democrats not to get too cozy to Trump. It's causing unease on all sides. But I think for the Democrats, for sure, this is not part of a strategy. You should look at Pelosi looks totally bewildered because this, of course, is not supposed to happen. These hecklers are not supposed to be shouting down Nancy Pelosi. They're eating their own right now. So for those of you who think, look, this is Trump making deals with Schumer and Pelosi or so-called making deals with them and sitting down with them and cozying up to them in the White House is part of a Trump strategy to unnerve the left. I don't know. I'm skeptical of it. I'm skeptical, but I will tell you that it is creating some of that. But so they are heckling Pelosi, and Pelosi's, what's her plea? Hey, we need to talk here. We just need to talk. We cannot have a conversation if you're just yelling over me. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, oh yeah. Well, where were you? Where are you with Antifa? Where are you when Trump, Trump supporters are getting punched in the mouth, knocked out cold on college campuses. And you think that's just fine because that's part of the resistance and that's people expressing themselves. The hypocrisy is stunning. And so is there part of me that enjoys a little bit of Schadenfreude? A little taste of her own medicine. Of course. But also, can I point out, this is not too absurd of a stretch here, that there are illegal immigrants shouting at an elected member of Congress. Hold on. Am I going to be defending Nancy Pelosi? Maybe. But hear me out. Who did Nancy Pelosi get elected to represent? San Francisco freaks. Yes, that's true. But okay. But in reality, citizens, right? I mean, that's who votes. At least that's who ought to just be voting. So here, you know, you've got an elected member of Congress who is elected to represent U.S. citizens, and you, and she's getting heckled by illegals who claim no lawful right of representation. I always like to turn these things around logically and reverse the facts. Now, I don't know where these guys are from. I mean, they could be from anywhere. They look like they're Latin. But let's just say they're Mexican. I picture myself going to Mexico, living there for an extended period of time. Yes, yes, paying taxes, sure, whatnot, yada, yada, yada. But still, I am an American citizen, not a Mexican citizen, living in Mexico. Let me tell you how it would go down if I went to the presidential palace or the Congress there and started shouting down the, you know, sixth most important person in government, telling them that I have rights and that I demand representation. Do you know how fast I would get billy clubbed in Mexico? If you know Mexico, you know what I'm talking about. Anywhere in Russia and Germany, this is insanity. This is legitimate insanity. And the fact that the mainstream media are taking it for what it is and just talking about it in terms of a protest and not getting to the meat of how absurd this is. Just another example of why you listen to this program. Anyways, there's a black rapper and he hangs a child, at least does it in a music video. I want to talk about this next because really disturbing stuff, but interesting. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf is up next with the news.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, located in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is the email. I was in Utah this weekend with the family up in the mountains. And I was in Park City. They've got this, all these ski resorts try to come up with activities to do during the week, during the summer, excuse me. So the off season, if you will. And they've got this thing there. They've got this thing called the Alpine Slide, and it is probably the most dangerous thing I've ever been on, because they put you on a little, I don't know how to put it, it's like a go-kart skateboard with a lever in the middle of it, and it's a half pipe, and it goes from the top of the mountain all the way down. So it's the length of a ski run, if you can sort of picture that. It's in Park City, and you pay some money. You go, and they take you up with the ski lift. You know, they take you, and then you grab a little cart, and you move it. And there's like a toboggan type slide that goes down. You got to ride this cart, and it goes fast. Should probably look up how fast. My guess is, I don't know, easily 20 miles an hour, maybe 25 miles an hour. You're just on a little skateboard, right? No rail. No. It's not on a rail. So at any rate, my kids all love this thing. They love it. It's what we have to do when we go up and visit. So the kids all get on it. My mother-in-law gets on it. She's cruising down, no problem. Which of us do you think crashed? Yeah, it was me. I crashed. I crashed spectacularly because at some point I'm about midway down the hill and I'm having the time of my life. I'm midway down and I'm cruising and I felt like I needed to adjust my seat a little bit. So I just scooched over just ever so slightly, lose the cart. The cart goes flying up into the air off the slide. And now I'm cruising on my money down the slide in my coat, in my jeans. I'll put up on Twitter my outfit after the crash happened. It was cold. So I was wearing a jacket. Thank goodness. The jacket smoldered. Because there was so much force, there is such speed going down, right? So the friction, it heated up. And I was a down jacket, so there were feathers flying in the air. It was burning slightly. Oh, anyway, I survived it. The kids all thought it was hilarious. I've got some scrapes, but I think I'm going to live. Anyway, that was my weekend. I hope yours was just as exciting and exhilarating. So I don't know even how to transition to the story. I want to get to this because there's some idiotic rapper, 19-year-old kid, basically. But this doesn't excuse it. So he's black. He's a rapper. He's from Florida, I think. And he supposedly is somewhat famous. It might surprise you. I am no expert in rap, so I have never heard of him. But his name is X. Let's see here. What is it? Extentation? Is that how you pronounce it? It's, of course, stylized in a crazy way. But anyway, Extentation, I think, is his name. And he has a music video where he is has two boys side by side who look to me to be about, I don't know, 6, maybe 8. And he puts a noose around one of the boys is black and the other one's white. And he puts a hangman's noose around the white kid and hangs him. And it's graphic because, look, the kid's legs are twitching. It's disturbing. Now, I have a couple of observations about this the guy got knocked out, by the way. He was giving a concert the other night, and some guys, just enraged about this, ran on stage and knocked him out, which isn't good either, right? This is no better than Antifa. You don't end the discussion with the knockout blow. You don't punch people. This is not the solution. But there's more to it, and I need time to develop this. So anyway, we're up against a break. You don't want to go anywhere because I'd be curious what you think about this. But anyway, coming right up, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So I just put on Twitter what my outfit looked like after the crash on the toboggan alpine slide up in Park City, Utah. You can see the damage. Do you see the tweet? You guys see it? Okay, there you go. Yeah, at Sam Nation is where you can find it. So there it is. Anyway, there for your viewing pleasure. Will I call Sweet James? That's the next question, right? Now that I have, and I have bona fide injuries. I mean, you ought to look at my hands. See that? They kind of look grotesque over here. Look at that. Anyway, so I have some boo-boos. Did not go to the doctor yet, although if this lump on the side of my head persists, I may. I signed a release, which is a problem, but you have to in these things. You know, what are you going to do? You don't have a choice not to. In California, if you've got gross negligence, like if they're just really, really bad in what they're doing, then you can get around a waiver in some cases. So just because you signed a waiver doesn't mean that you can't get some advice from Sweet James. All right. So the moral of the story is he will know better than anybody. So give him a call. He's the lawyer that we trust here on the program, attorney Sweet James Bergener, the one, the only, the champion of justice, the voice of truth and light. Sweet James is the man to call. So if you are in a car accident, if you are bitten by a dog, or if you happen to have sustained a freak toboggan, what am I saying? Alpine slide accident, whatever. I've forgotten how to talk. Long weekend. Maybe it's the hit to the head. At any rate, if you need help, call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back. We are live, and we are bold. And this, by the way, requires a little bit of sensitivity because it is really, in my opinion, so vile. Talking about this rapper called Extentation. He's a 19-year-old black rapper from Florida, and he makes a music video of a lynching, and he lynches a white boy. There's a white boy and a black boy standing side by side. I think they're about 6, 7, 8, something like that. And it's graphic. He hoists himself, the black child, up into the air, and you see his feet kicking before the white child, excuse me, kicking, and it's terrible. And look, I mean, first things first, Can you imagine what the outcry would be if a white rapper did everything here but in reverse? I mean, the world would come to a screeching end. You'd have riots. You'd have, I mean, the criticism would be so loud and so violent. I think that we can't become a post-racial society, a society free of racism, until we begin to treat outrageous acts the same, regardless of who is the victim of the act or a victim of the discrimination. This is in effect an example of where equality requires equality, right? You have to look at things the same way. I'm picturing it in my mind's eye what the mainstream media would have done if it were the other way around. But I find it. So over the weekend, you know, this thing, the guy got attacked, the rapper got attacked on stage. He's performing, I think, in San Diego. And he's on stage, and this guy just runs up and tackles him. He punches him in the face and knocks him out. And my thought on this is that, so I see people on Twitter and elsewhere just who are, you know, let's say we'll call them right wing, and they are just ecstatic over it. The guy got his just desserts, and people are so happy. And I found that outrageous because, look, violence against anyone is unacceptable. If you don't like what somebody's doing, use your words. Believe me, using your words is a lot more difficult than using your fists. And in order for us to move on and create the right kind of society, we have to be able to talk. And we have to be able to accept what the other person's saying, even if we don't agree with it. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Oh, you know that rapper that did that fake lynching? All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation here. I need to tell you, there's a great clip of him talking about the assault, right? So he gets knocked out during his concert in San Diego, and apparently this is in retaliation for him doing this terribly horrible music video of a white kid getting lynched. All right, so here is rapper Xtentation talking about the attack. Now his face is visibly swollen. This guy got punched hard. But he's talking about the guy that attacked him, and you just listen to this vile piece of garbage.
Do you plan to go to the hospital?
Nope, but he did. Apparently, I had nothing to do with this, is all I'm going to say, just for other reasons. I had nothing to do with this, but apparently he was stabbed. He was stabbed several times and is in critical condition right now. And apparently, I mean, he might die, so I don't know what's going on. But I just know he might die.
Yeah, what a piece of filth. At any rate, you know what the test for freedom of speech is? Protecting vile pieces of trash like that. And their freedom of expression. That's what makes us great. That's what makes us different. That's what makes America the unique grand experiment that it is. You know what I believe in? I believe in freedom. It's the core foundational principle of my political ideology. And it worries me when people let their political ideologies get in the way of protecting our liberties and our freedoms. Because you get it in your mind that things ought to be a certain way. And I think, you know, I honestly, the left is very guilty of this, and I would say predominantly because they want to micromanage everything in your life. From the kind of car you drive to the type of relationships you have the type of food you eat. I mean, everything wants to get managed and controlled. But you, but at the end of the day, freedom allows people to make choices and let people make whatever choices they will. And let, most importantly, whatever the rules are that govern us, in order to come up with the best rules, you ought to be able to talk about things. You ought to be able to express your opinions and your interests. And the people that I admire, if I look at Milton Friedman, you think Milton Friedman, the great economist, you think he went around punching people in the mouth? You think that's how he won people over? You think that's how he got his point across? I mean, it's absurd. You think our founding fathers, you know, went around punching each other when they disagree? I mean, it's just not, it's not at all what great minds do. So I look at Antifa, you know, these black-clad liberal thugs that go around, you know, kicking and beating up, you know, Trump voters, and you know, I look at that and I think, how pathetic. If your ideas are really so strong, if these Trump supporters are really so terrible and such ignoramuses, then you ought to be able to show them up like that. But you know what? They can't. They're unable to. They can't. You know, they can't argue. These idiots at Berkeley, and yes, idiots that go to Berkeley, believe me, great school, but morons, these kids. Because instead of arguing and engaging Ben Shapiro in a dialogue, they shout him down. Because it's easier. And we on the right should never, ever engage in those types of tactics. It diminishes our position. So that's what I think. I don't know. I think I'm reasonable here. I don't know. All right. What are we doing? Tomorrow, 7 o'clock. See you then.